Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Chagiga's daf Yud Dalet. We're back on Yud Gimel, and you're towards the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We're starting pretty much at the bottom with the words Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, playing with fire, playing with electricity. That's what we're going to be discussing today. That's what we have been discussing. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Taf Adwan Zichin Nishmaso Subin Zaltzman. Okay, if you take a look at the Gemaras that we've been doing these past couple of days, and we will continue to be doing today, tomorrow. Okay, we are deep in Agadata. Agadata that's very deep and extraordinarily esoteric. Okay, you will forgive me for, I will say the Gemara, I will try to make an attempt of giving an explanation. Most of the time I will quote Rashi, and then after that I am tapped out. You will not get much more out of me after that, but... Sometimes when doing these Gemaras, I think we're about to start Yavamos pretty shortly, and even in Chagiga, we're going to enter into the world of Tumah Tahara, and they're difficult and they're complex. But the truth of the matter is that if you get it, it's like, oh, I got it, I understand what's going on over here. And these Gemaras, like, you understand that what we're doing is just simply scratching the surface. Now, I don't even think we're doing that. We're just it's everything over here is cursory in terms of what we're going to be accomplishing and doing. But in the meantime, okay, enough of the disclaimer of how I don't know what's happening, but let's begin. We are talking...
This discourages people to go into it, but then it explains itself.
Yeah, right. It's, it does... I'm just speaking personally, it doesn't encourage it, look, we saw an Amor yesterday. Remember yesterday's Gemara? One more point and then we'll start. Remember, there was an Amara yesterday, Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar wanted to learn the secrets, but he wanted to learn specifically from Rabbi Yochanan. So when Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, I'm ready, so the Amara, Rabbi Lazar, if I'm not mistaken, so he says to Rabbi Yochanan, yeah, but I'm not old enough yet. Right? And the Rabbeinu Chananel, which I struggled to find yesterday, Rabbeinu Chananel said that you have to be 50 years of age. Okay, so he wasn't old enough. So fine, but by the time he arrived at 50 years of age, Rabbi Yochanan was dead. There was another Amara who was offering to teach it to him, and even Rabbi Lazar said, look, I'm not, if I was supposed to learn it, I'd learn from Rabbi Yochanan. I didn't learn from Rabbi Yochanan. I'm done. I'm not going to learn it. So you see already an Amara who basically passes an opportunity of learning this. So it's important, but in terms of making it a fundamental of a person's learning, right, it's clearly from yesterday's Gemara, just from that one anecdote, you would say not. It's not a fundamental. Okay, what are we attempting to do over these past couple of days? And that is explain Maisa Merkava and Maisa Bereishis. Okay, actually Maisa Merkava. Okay, Maisa Bereishis we're done with. The Mishnah told us that when you expound Maisa Merkava and Maisa Bereishis, so it has to be to a select audience. Arias has to be with no greater than three. We discussed why. That was already explained in the first part of the Gemara. Maisa Bereishis only to two, no greater than two. And Maisa Merkava, only one-on-one. So when one person can teach one person Maisa Merkava, and that is only somebody who is a Chacham Umevin Midato. That was the language of the Mishnah to describe such an individual. What is Maisa Merkava? So, of course, it's secrets, Sodei HaTorah, Sisrei HaTorah. So we don't know. But where is Maisa Merkava? Where can you find a description of Maisa Merkava? So the answer is in Sefer Yecheskel. Sefer Yecheskel, the first paragraph. Sefer Yecheskel, so that's Maisa Merkava. As I mentioned yesterday, I proposed a ridiculous theory, but I said yesterday that Maisa Merkava is read as the Haftorah for Shavuos. The reason is very straightforward, because on Shavuos we have, the Shavuos is, that's Maamad Har Sinai. That's revelation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to us. So to the best of, we obviously didn't experience it. I know, in some level we were all there, but we didn't experience it. But in other words, they all had a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yecheskel had a similar revelation, which he describes in the beginning of his Sefer, Perek Aleph, and that is Maisa Merkava. Okay, so Maisa Merkava is some better understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's, in essence, what Maisa Merkava is. Okay, now, so you can't teach it. What do you mean you can't teach it? It's the first paragraph of Sefer Yecheskel. So, good. So, open up the first paragraph of Sefer Yecheskel and read through the first paragraph of Sefer Yecheskel, and you'll see that most of it is just very, very difficult to understand. In fact, our Gemara today is going to cite some of the psukim from this first paragraph of Sefer Yecheskel, and we're still not really going to follow what's going on. We're only going to be a beginning. And by the way, my ridiculous theory was that we stay up all night on Shavuos, and by the time we get to the Haftarah and Sefer Yecheskel, we're not even conscious. So, And maybe that was my ridiculous theory I mentioned yesterday, and maybe that's by design. That we're not right, correct, right, better, right, the better way, not the better way, but the way to hear the Maisimer Kaba. Okay, let's go. We are towards the very bottom. Now, Hananiah ben Chizkiah, who lived during Bais Sheni, did live during the Second Temple, so he got a lot of praise because he saved Sefer Yecheskel. Sefer Yecheskel was thought to be put in Geniza and not part of Tanakh and not to be canonized. And the reason is because Sefer Yecheskel has many steers to the Torah. And I saw an example yesterday. Okay, so it has steers to the Torah. So what did Hananiah ben Chizkiah do? He took Sefer Yecheskel up to his attic, and he darshaned, and he explained every one of the psukim Sefer Yecheskel, including those psukim which seem to go against the Torah. Okay, that is why he got praised. Tana Rabbana, we're towards the very bottom of the Amud. Three lines from the bottom, right? This is where we left off yesterday? I think so. Yeah, okay. Maisa betinok echashaya kor beves rabbo, b'sefer Yecheskel. So there was a tinok that was reading in these Rebbe's house, Sefer Yecheskel. Now reading, of course, doesn't mean reading. Reading means learning, understanding, really grasping these ideas. And he got to the chashmal. Chashmal, we'll describe what that is in just a moment. Again, an attempt. So, v'sar faso. And so he was burnt. Okay, it's... I know I joked, but it's not a joke. Meaning he was playing with electricity and basically he got burnt. So we're just not talking about electricity right now, but you understand. So, ubik shalug no sefer Yecheskel. And again, Sefer Yecheskel wanted to be stored and wanted to be put away. They basically, there's good arguments to take Sefer Yecheskel and not make it part of Sefer Tanakh. Amram Hananiah ben Chizkiah, he is the defender of Sefer Yecheskel. Im ze chacham, akol chachamim heim. He says, look, this is anecdotal, right? Very often people react and, let's say, overreact because of an incident, of one incident that they learned. Okay, that's, so what he was arguing is that he doesn't represent the populace. Most people are going to be reading Sefer Yecheskel, not understanding Sefer Yecheskel, and good. And I mean that. And good. He happened to have read it. He happened to understand it. But he really is not representative. It's really anecdotal. And, okay, let's... he says, let's not overreact to that situation. My chashmal. Okay, so chashmal, one of the ideas, one of the concepts mentioned in the first paragraph of Yecheskel. So what is it? So I'm Rav Yehuda, chayos esh memalos. So it is the fire that's emanating from the chayos. Chayos over here does not mean animals. Chayos over here is the reference to the higher level malachim. Okay, they are one of the highest level malachim, the chayos. We described them yesterday in terms of where they reside up in Shemayim. Right, yesterday we did an entire counting of where everyone resides up in Shemayim, and we mentioned the chayos, and they're one of the top levels. So the fire that emanates from their mouth, that's the chashmal. So memasisa tani itim chashos itim mamalos. We have a brisa that describes that sometimes the chayos would speak, sometimes they would quiet. V'shasha adir b'yotzim ipikash baruch hu chashos. And the Gemara says that when a kash baruch hu is speaking, so the chayos are quiet. V'shasha ein adir b'yotzim ipikash baruch hu mamalos. And when the chayos and when a kash baruch hu is not speaking, so they speak. V'chayos ratso v'shov k'marei ha-bezek. Okay, and the chayos are going back and forth, right? Literally in and out. So this is, again, part of a description of Sefer Yecheskel Perek Aleph. And so, as I mentioned earlier, but here's now what the Gemara is going to do. The Gemara is going to cite psukim from the Perek, and the Gemara is going to give some basic explanation of what we're even talking about. So, my Ratzav HaShav, I'm Rav Yehuda, Kor Yotze Mipi HaKivshan. So Rav Yehuda says, if you want a visual, so basically take a look at an oven and see the fire spurting out of the oven. So that's the description of these chayos. So my kamari habezek, what does that mean? Kamari habazek. Okay. So right, this is pasuk. No, I'm right. I'm sorry, bazak. Okay, I have the pasuk right in front of me, and I still can't see it. Okay. Okay, so the my kamari habazak, I'm Rav Yosi Rabbi Chanin, the Korah Yosi b'Bein haCharesim. It's like fire that comes out between the Charis, between the earthenware. So Rashi over here gives more of an explanation of what we're talking about. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi four lines down, HaKivshan. Sorry, are we up to that Rashi? Yeah. Rashi says, "Shesar from Bo'avanim Lasid." So the we're burning stones to convert into lime. Ubazak lashon shivrei shvarim hu. Shahar yotze bein evin la'evin. Fire comes out between the rocks. Kin nan be'erevin. Boskin melech al gabe hakevesh. Right, he quotes the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin at the end talks about how you're allowed to place salt on the ramp so no one slips. Shalo yachliko kohanim. Okay, miben acharosim. And take a look at the next Rashi. Again, Rashi over here is just giving a brief description of what the Gemara is describing. Derek mezaske zav linkov klecheres nekav nekavim. V'kofen oso gabi gecholim. So Rashi writes that those who would fashion gold, form gold, basically goldsmiths. So they would take earthenware, which had holes in them, and they would invert it and put it on top of coals. Shazav nasam bahem, and the gold was inside of it. B'toch tisha sacharasim shal levanim agabe cheres v'lav yotzei lamala derech nikve akli. And through the holes, fires would spurt out through the holes. So basically, it's a flash of fire coming out through the holes. That's how Rashi describes over here. And Rashi says v'astui gavanim gavanim, and it looks like it looks multicolored, meaning because it's burning gold, it's not burning but melting gold. So therefore, the fire that comes out has different shades and different colors. V'tamid yotzei v'nechnas, it's always going in and out. Okay, so again, just to help us visualize the pasuk in Yecheskel and how to see the pasuk in Yecheskel. Continuing, ve'revi hinei ruach sarah b'minat safon. And Yecheskel further describes, and he sees a northern wind, a northern storm, I should say. Ruach sarah b'minat safon anan gadol ve'ish mit lakachas v'nogalo saviv u'mitvake ke'en chashma mitoch ha'ish. Okay, so a more description of fire emanating, storms emanating from the north. And lahechen azal, and the Gemara now wants to know where is it coming from. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Shalach litvoshes kolam kulo tachan Nebuchadnezzar Rasha. This is a description of the entire world being destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, part of Yecheskel, his history is that he lived during Nebuchadnezzar. And so when he's describing these fires coming out and destroying, so it all is emanating from, for Nebuchadnezzar. And so now Nebuchadnezzar is going to conquer the entire world. Why? Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. So why does Nebuchadnezzar have to go and conquer the whole world and then destroy Yerushalayim? It seems strange. So the Gemara says, no, it's not. So the Kokach Lama, Shalom Yomer Umas Olam, Yad Umash Feila Master Kadosh Baruch Hu Hezbana. Because even though Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed and Yerushalayim is going to be conquered, so Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the perception of, oh, anyone can conquer Yerushalayim. Oh, sure. No, it has to be somebody who already conquered the entire world. Only such an individual can destroy it, can destroy the Beis HaMikdash and conquer Yerushalayim. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu migarim lishayeh shamash lov de pesilim. So, and Kadosh Baruch Hu bemoans his own condition. How did I get here? How did I get to this place now where I have to be destroying the Beis HaMikdash? Amar Nosem Shal Yisraelim garmo li. The sins of the Jewish people, that's what caused it for me. Okay. Continuing now in treating some of the psukim in the first parak of Yecheskel, again the description of Ma'aseh Merkava, v'ra achayos v'inei ofan echad ba'aretz eitzel achayos. So I was looking at the chayos, and he notes that one of the ofanim was stationed on the ground by the chayot. Ofanim is another form of a malach, another version of a malach. So Amar Rav Elazar malach echad shu omed ba'aretz v'rosha magia eitzel achayos. So Rav Elazar has a tradition that this is a description of one of the malachim who is standing on the earth, but meanwhile his head goes all the way up to the chayos. Now, if you remember yesterday we went over basically the vast distance between the earth and the rakia, the first rakia, the second rakia, all the way up to the seventh rakia. We didn't even talk in terms of distance. We talked in terms of time. It would take 500 years, right? Like much like how we describe light years. Right, we talk about it in terms of how much time it would take, and so here we talked about it would take 500 years just to get to the Rakia, and then Beina Rakia would be another 500 years, and then you compound that again and again, and then after the seven Rakias, then the Gemara pointed out that finally to get to Kadosh Baruch Hu was just exponentially how each portion of the Malach was another. X number of years. Anyway, so here Yecheskel has a description of one malach whose feet's on the ground, and his head is going all the way up to the rakia. So not just the rakia, I'm sorry, but beyond, up to the chayos, meaning seventh floor. The Masisa Tana Sandalfon Shmo. And we have a braisa that actually identifies the name of this malach, Sandalfon. Taller than 500 years. Again, just describing his height in terms of time, not in terms of actual length. And he's standing behind the Merkava. The Koshik Tarim Lakono. And he is attaching crowns to his creator. So the Gemara, at this point, the Gemara objects. Okay, because, again, now we're discussing things which I know so little about, but the Gemara at this point objects. Ian, the Gemara says, how could he do that? Now, how could he do that? Not the question is not how could he, how can he tie crowns to the Kester of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but how does he know where it is? The Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is blessed from his makom. Well, we don't know where it is, meaning there's a makom, and we don't know where it is. So, da'amar, shame, ataga. So the Gemara's answer is as follows. This particular malach sandalfon, so he would say the shame, he would attach it to a crown, and then on its own, it would find itself to make its way to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Needless to say, I'm not sure if you're feeling the same way, but I understood very little of what just happened in the Gemara, but I do understand the following, right? The Kedusha that we say, obviously, is a microcosm of the Maisa Merkava. Okay, that's clear. And so, by the Ashkenazim, I'm not going to speak your language, but for the Sfarim, and for those who daven Nusach Sfard, so Chabad does this as well. So when it comes to Musaf, so what do we say? What's the introductory statement of Musaf? So I'm going to try to say like a Sfardi, but no, it's not going to work. Kesi Yitnu Lecha. So Kesi Yitnu Lecha, meaning the crown should be given to you. So what is that talking about? So again, not that we understand, but at least now we have an inkling, some beginning of an understanding of this description that the Gemara here on Chagiga Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis is providing, is that there's this idea of the Malachim creating crowns and the crowns going towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Kesu Yinu Lecha, so Kedusha that we say, at least now we have a beginning of an understanding. Now, who saw Maisa Merkava? So the Gemara identifies two Nevi'im who had a vision of Maisa Merkava. One was Yecheskel and the other one was Yeshayahu. Yecheskel is described in Perek Aleph of Sefer Yecheskel, and Yeshayahu is described in a shorter version in Perek Vav of Yeshayahu. So we have two descriptions of Maisa Merkava. The one Yecheskel is long, relatively, to that of Sefer Yeshayahu. It goes through Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph is 28 Pesukim. And it even continues, we saw yesterday, it continues into Perek Beis. Okay, so we saw Machlokas yesterday, exactly at what point does it stop. But anyway, okay, so Yecheskel gives a full version of what he perceives as Maisa Merkava. Yeshayahu, much smaller, much shorter version of it. Perek Vav, but not even all of Perek Vav, just a couple of Pesukim in Perek Vav that give a description of Maisa Merkava. Okay, the Pesukim and Perek Vav Yishayahu, by the way, parenthetically, those are more the Pesukim that we use for Kedusha, right? When we say our Kedusha, than that of Sefer Yecheskel. Okay, but anyway, the Gemara wants to know. Gemara now has a simple question. They both had a vision of Maisa Merkava, so why is Yecheskel's vision so much longer? So that's what the Gemara now is going to address. We're on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're about halfway down in the Amud. So Kol Shara Yecheskel Ras Yishayahu. Lama Yecheskel Dama. Lama Yecheskel Dama. Leben Kfar Sharas HaMelech. V'lama Yishayahu Domeh, leben Krach Sharas HaMelech. So the Gemara says, that, you want to explain the difference, why it is that Yecheskel is so descriptive and Yishayahu is so not descriptive. So the Gemara says, because you have to look at the personalities. Yecheskel is a ben Kfar, a villager, meaning that he had no experience in his life with royalty, with a palace, with a kingdom. So to him, when he sees Maisa Merkava, oh my gosh, it's like a peasant walking into the palace. Like, everything is going to take him by storm. Like, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Did you see that? Meanwhile, Yishayahu, remember the Gemara Megillah? Gemara Megillah says regarding Yishayahu, Amos v'Amatzia Achim. That Amos and Amatzia were brothers. Who's Amos? Amos was one of the kings of the Jewish people. Who's Amatzia? Amatzia was the father of Yishayahu. So basically, Yishayahu was a nephew to the king. So a nephew to the king, he had access. He saw a kingdom. He saw a palace. So for him, when he saw Maisa Merkava, obviously not the same, right? One's in this world and one's in the other world, but still, just the ideas of Malchus, that weren't so strange to him. So when he saw it, he's like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. And so therefore, he didn't give a lengthy description. Kadosh Baruch Hu is exalted. Not only is exalted, he's exalted over exalted once. Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech of Adam, of humanity, and the humanity are the ones who we feel were so dominant, right? For good reason. We have a brain. We think. We look what we've accomplished. So we think we're dominant. Kadosh Baruch Hu is dominant over us, the dominant ones. Amar Mar Melech Shebechayos Ari, king of all animals is a lion. Okay, Melech Shebehemos Shor. And when it comes to the world of the behemos, so that's the ox. Melech Shebeofos Nesher, the king of birds is the Nesher, translated as the eagle, but Tosfos says it's not the eagle, it's a vulture. So either way, V'adam et Ga'alayim. But meanwhile, right, in terms of this world, who is the most exalted? The man. Man's the most exalted. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu et Ga'al Kulam, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is exalted over all of them. V'Al Kol Ha'olam Kulo. V'Al Kol Ha'olam Kulo. And over everyone. Okay. Kasav Echad Omer, we're going to now point to discrepancies. Meaning, Ma'aseh Merkava is a description of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's chariot. And so now, some basic discrepancies that we're going to note that exist between our perek and other descriptions. So first of all, demus penim penei adam penei aryeh ela yamin. So there were four faces. On one side, on the right side, face of a man, face of a lion. I have la arba asamu penei shor me asmol la arba asan. And the face of an ox on the other side. Uksiv arba panim lecha pnei achad pnei krov upnei asheni pnei adam v'shishu pnei aryeh v'revi pnei nesher. So v'ilu shur lo kachashiv. Meanwhile, Yecheskel, going from Perek Aleph to Perek Yud, so in one place he notes that there's a shur, and that's in Perek Aleph, and in Perek Yud doesn't mention the shur. In fact, the shur gets replaced with a krov, which will explain what that means in just a moment. But meanwhile, what happened? So Amr Yishlakish Yecheskel Bikesh Alav Rachman V'Hafchu L'Kruv. So Yecheskel asked for Rachmanus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the shore turned into a Kruv. Amr L'Fana Rebo Shalom Kateger Yasef Sanegor. And his argument, the very simple argument, apropos for Rosh Hashanah, which is coming up, which is the Kategor, that which prosecutes us cannot be our defendant. Meaning the shur reminds us of the eagle Hazav, and you can't have any memory whatsoever, the eagle Hazav, inserted, placed onto the Kisei HaKavod, and so therefore, please remove it, and it was replaced with a Kruv. My Kruv, Amar Rabbi Abao, Kiravya, Kruv is the face of a small child. She came by Bava, currently Yenuka Ravya, that's in Bava. The small children are referred to as Ravya. Amalei Rav Papa La Baye Lamiata. Dechsi Pnei Echa Pnei Akruv Pnei Asheni Pnei Adam Ashisha Pnei Aryeh Varevi Pnei Nesher Ayna Pnei Kruv Ayna Pnei Adam. Problem now is that what on the Ma'aseh Merkava, the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is now the face of a man and the face of a crow, and aren't they the same? So the Gemara says no, they're not. Ape Rav Revi Ape Zotrei. No, one face is that of a young man. Right, a boy, if you will, and the other one is that of an older. So, Kasav Echad Omer, other discrepancies now that we're going to find between the Ma'aseh Merkava that was seen by Yecheskel versus that which was seen by Yishayahu. Sheish Kenafim La'achad V'Kasav Echad Omer V'Arba'a Panim La'achas V'Arba'a Kenafim La'achas. So, six wings versus four wings. Okay, so how many wings were on the Malachim that were surrounding the Ma'aseh Merkava? So six versus four. Okay, that's a problem, obviously. So the Lokasha Kambiz Mensha Beis HaMikdash Kayim Kambiz Mensha Ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim. So the Gemara says the discrepancy is easily resolved. The difference is when the Beis HaMikdash was in existence versus when it was destroyed. So Kaviyachol Nitshinitma Apu Kanfei HaChayos. So it's as if to say that the wings of the Chayos have been clipped. Two of the six wings have been clipped. So a reduction in the wings of the chayos. It's interesting, the Gemara over here uses the word kaviyachol. Right? Kaviyachol means this is, if we could say, we usually use that terminology for Kadosh Baruch Hu. We don't normally use the terminology for anything other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like, can't we just say it? Right? But the Gemara has to say kaviyachol. Right? Can't we just say that the wings were clipped? Okay, it's I need a better understanding of that. Okay. Haimi nahu imot. The Gemara wants to know which wings were clipped. Okay. In other words, the Gemara now is going to attempt to identify of those six which ones were clipped. Amarav Hanana, Amarav Osan Sha'omar Shira Bahen. The ones that say Shira. So again, you got basically the basic understanding is that after the base of Mikdash is destroyed, so right, we are unable to really sing the Shira of Akash Baruch. See, because of Echad of Ishtaim Yofeh Bekarzel Zeh. The Amar. So in one pasuk in Yeshayahu, it's that they were flying and calling out to one another. Uksiv hitif einecha bo ve'einenu. So the eyes were covered. So v'rabanan amrei osan shemechasus ben ragleim. So fine. Another suggestion is that which wings were clipped? The ones that cover their legs. Okay. So in other words. Again, six wings were the original composition of the chayos. Two of them were clipped. Which one? So now the Gemara is suggesting the ones that cover their legs. Shenemer v'aglam ragol yishara. Their legs were a straight leg. Our minhag during Shemoneh Esrei is to keep our legs together. We're like the malachim. So therefore, it's as if we had one leg. But anyway, v'ilav d'imam mana havayada. Mana havayada. Now the Gemara says, now here's the argument. The argument is that, of course, it was the wings that cover the legs, because how do we know that it was ragol yishara? If it was the wings that cover the legs, we wouldn't know. The fact that we know means that those, specifically those wings that were clipped. So, Dilma de Iglai v'chazyale. So the Gemara says, no, maybe they revealed it, meaning it doesn't necessarily have to be that those wings were clipped. Could be that those wings were there. Just at one point, they exposed it. So the Gemara says, look, their face looks like that of a human. So, hachinami dimot, dimot, so the Gemara says, at one point they were revealed. So here too we can make an argument that their legs were revealed. The Gemara says, no, come on. Look, people reveal their faces, meaning that's normal. Normal to expose your face. But kari lav arachar legluye kamei rabbe. But you don't expose your legs in front of your rabbi. So the Gemara says no. It's hard to imagine that it was the wings that covered the legs that were clipped. Kasav achar omer. Okay. So again, so a discrepancy in terms of the wings of the chayos. On one hand, they had six. On the other, and one, in another description that given by Yecheskel, they had four. The resolution is two of them were clipped. Why would that be? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so therefore diminishment. Thank you. Okay, eventually I'll learn how to speak English. A diminishment of the chayos because of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, more discrepancies between the visions of the Ma'aseh Merkava, that given by Yecheskel versus other Nevi'im. We are towards the bottom of Yigimah Medbeis, Kasav Echad Omer, Elef Alafim, Yisham Shunei, Veribo Rivon Kadmoi Kumun. Okay, Pasuk can say for Daniel, thousands of thousands. Okay, so thousands times a thousand, that's a million. And Rabu Rivavon, 10,000 times 10,000. So I just add two more zeros. So that's 100 million. So the, so Kadmoi Kumun. So that's one description of the malachim that surround Akash Baruch Hu. Okay, now that's a lot, but the point, of course, being is that that's a finite number. And meanwhile, the Kasav Echad Omer, and meanwhile, another pasuk that describes Hayesh Mispar L'Gedudav. There is no number; it's infinite. So the steer is very simple: finite versus infinite. So Kasha Kan Bizman She Beis Hamikdash Kayam, Kan Bizman She Ain Beis Hamikdash Kayam, Kaviyachush Nizmata Pamay Shamala. So when there was a Beis HaMikdash, the number was infinite. When there was no Beis HaMikdash, the number was finite. Okay, so mathematicians would have a field day with this, because now basically there is a way of converting infinite to finite. Okay, so okay, let the calculus junkies go over that. So, but anyway, the okay, so the idea. Okay, Tanya, learned on a brisa. Rabbi Omer Mishum Abba Yosef Ben Dusai Elef Alaf and Yisham Shuni Mispar Gedud Echad Ulug Dudav Mispar. Okay, so we learned on a brisa that Rabbi says that there were thousands and thousands who will serve me, meaning each Gedud was a composite of a million or 100 million of angels, but Ula Gedudave Mispar. But in terms of how many legions were there, oh, that has no number. Okay, so it's another way of resolving the discrepancy versus finite versus infinite. The legion, each legion had a finite number, but the number of legions, oh, that's infinite. Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba Amar Elef Alafin Yishev Shin Lenahar Dinor. Another answer of the Gemara that be given by Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba is that the finite number that's provided over here, that's the ones who serve around Nahar Dinor, okay, the Dinor River. Okay, Shenamar, Nahar Dinor Negev and Nafak Min Kadomi Elef Alafin Yishev Shuni. Gemara here quotes the Pasuk in Daniel who gives a cryptic description of the Nahar Dinor. So, what do we get out of this Pasuk and say for Daniel? That there were a million angels surrounding the Nahar Dinor. So this would be supportive of Rav Yirmiyahu's answer that, yeah, around the Nahar Dinor, that was a finite number. After that, the number could be infinite. Asa v'rabu ravan kadmo yikamun. Sorry. Me'echa nafik. Now, these angels that are surrounding the Nahar Dinor, so how are they created? So the Gemara says, mizeasan shel chayos. They come out of the literally the perspiration of the chayos. Olehechen shafik. Now this Nahar Dinor, right? It's a river, and we'll see in just a moment. It's a river made up of fire. So where does it go? So the Gemara says, sorry, I lost my spot. Yeah. So eventually this river goes and it heads into the Gehenna and it goes onto the heads of the Rishayim. So Pasuk in Yirmiyahu gives a description of this river finding its way, landing onto the heads of Rishayim. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar al Asher Kumtu. Rav Acha bar Yaakov gives a different explanation. He has a different tradition in terms of who is the recipient of these fires of the Nahar Dinor. So Al Asher Kumtu. Al Asher Kumtu, those people who are Nikmat. What does that mean? Shenemar, I'll explain in just a moment. The Gemara will explain in just a moment. Asher Kumtu, Velo Ace Nahar Yitzhak Yisodam. So those who are Kumtu, Velo Ace, before their time, and the river goes on top of them. Okay, so who are we describing and what does the word Nikmat mean? Tanya, last line of Yigimel Midbeis. I'm Reb Shimon Achasid El Shami Os Veshivim Varaba Dorshe Kumto Liibaros. There were 976 generations that were supposed to be created and were not created. Right? Akash Baruch Hu had a plan that there were going to be 1,000 generations before the Torah was given. How do we know of such a plan? Pasuk in Tehillim, Rashi, top of Yidala Medalef. Rashi quotes, Lekayim Ashenema, I'm reading the top line of Rashi. Lekayim Ashenema, David Tzivah Lelv Dor. That which was commanded for the 1,000th generation. Meaning that the game plan was to build the world, to create a world, and there was the world was going to go 1,000 generations, and then the Torah was given. Kadosh Baruch Hu then had a game time decision, and that was is that after 26 generations, the Torah was going to be given. 26 generations. Remember the Mishnah Pirkei Avos? 10 generations from Avram to Noach, 10 generations from Noach to Avraham, and then you need to count just a little bit more to get from Avram to Moshe Rabbeinu. So there are 26 generations in total that goes from Avram all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that means now that 976 generations were not created. The Gemara says it's those 976 generations where the Nahar Dinor is going on their heads. Kosh Baruch Hu takes these people, kind of sprinkles them out, plants them throughout all the later generations. As they punish the bedor, and if you look at people with arrogance, with terrible arrogance, so they're from those 976 generations. I understand the Gemara over here is really challenging principles of bechir chavshis and free choice, and people are coming into this world who are by design. Brazen and cruel and evil. Okay, that's difficult. And Tosfos, if you take a look at the first Tosfos, he picks up on this difficulty. And take a look at the first Tosfos on the Amud. V'tardam v'iklaman damar v'shaslan. Okay, Tosfos has a question of what the correct gears in the Gemara is. But perishash lefi shlosh and rishon asan nishmatam b'gehenim v'lo nivru. So from Rashi, it sounds like They didn't even make it into this world. I mean, they went straight to Gehenim. V'temahu, and Toshua says, and that's very difficult. V'chi avadina belodina? Right, what are you, you're going to judge somebody when there's nothing to judge him over? That can't be. So, chima peshu liyos begehenim. V'dil lefarsh v'tardam shalanivra biyachad, ki im ma'at lechol dor v'dor. So Toshua gives an answer, and that is, no, they did come into this world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spaces them out, these 976 generations, Kadesh Lo Yisrabu Olam, and obviously he doesn't want to flood the world with these kinds of people. The world couldn't exist, so it kind of spaces them out. Vishnei Lashonos B'Yerusham Shava Achalash Meshuna, and then Tosfos deals with the actual language that's employed in the Gemara over here. But anyway, but that's Tosfos's understanding. It's still difficult, even according to Tosos, because still they come into this world, but they're hardwired to be brazen and difficult, and that's difficult to understand. We generally have a concept of free choice, and this seems to challenge that. Okay, I don't have a great way of resolving it. I am raising the issue. It would be better if I had answers. Okay, back to the Gemara. Yudala Madalfa, we're towards the top. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Asher Kum Tu Levracha Hu Dechsev. Rav Nachman Yitzchak gives a totally different understanding of what this Pasuk in Iyov means. Pasuk in Iyov says, Asher Kum Tu Velo Eis. They died before their time. What are we describing over here? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, no, we're not talking about the wicked people, the 976 generations, but rather we're going to go in the totally opposite direction. We're talking about people Livracha, people who are good. They cut themselves for Divrei Torah. What does that mean? They cut themselves, meaning they lose sleep over Torah. So in other words, instead of getting a full night of sleep, they cut some hours of their sleep and they learn Torah with that extra time. They're going to be revealed secrets in the world to come. And that's the Pasuk in Iyov, which is Naha Yitzhak is so dumb, they're going to be given sodos. So Shmuel says to Chia son of Rav, he refers to him as a Bar Irya, Ben Torah. I'll tell you something that your father taught me. Call Yuma v'Yuma Nivra Malach Hesharz Menar Dinar. Every day angels are created from the Nar Dinar. V'Amishira, and then they say Shira to Kadosh Baruch Hu Ubat Lei, and then they cease to exist, meaning their mission is accomplished. And then they're done. Shenemer chadashim lebekarim, Rabba Amunasecha. Upligi derosh mabar Nachmeni derosh Rosh mabar Nachmeni. Now this point is arguing with Rosh mabar Nachmeni because he says, I'm a Rabbi Yonasan called deeper v'deeper shiosim mipekash baruch hu nivra mimeno malach. Echad. That the malachim are results of the deeper of a kadosh baruch hu shenemer b'dvar Hashem shemaim nasu uveruach piv kol tzva'am. Pasuk in Tehillim seems pretty clear that the Tzva Shemayim, the host of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning the angels, are a result of the Dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because of Echad Amar Livushei Ketelek Chivar. Okay, now we are Pesukim and Daniel. Pesukim and Daniel are now going to give a description of some visual of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's refresh this point. I keep hitting the refresh on this point again and again. Let's refresh this point, right? Part of the Yud Gimel Ikari Emunah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not corporal. He does not have a body. There's no physical manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu whatsoever. Ela, says the Rambam, right? The Rambam spells this out in Mar Nevuchim. All this is just the way of us understanding. This is just a point of understanding. So, but it's obviously not actually reflective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a physical form. This is all just simply manifestations and ways of us perceiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we are going to be giving descriptions. We're not doing anything. The Nevi'im are, but again, just refreshing the point that this is just a way for us to understand. The Kasev Echad Omer Levushe Ketel Chivar. V'se'ar Reshe Ka'amar Neka. Pasuk in Daniel describes how he's wearing a white robe and looks white like snow. That's the word teleg. And reshe ka'amar naka. His hair is like wool. I was going to say like sheep, like clean wool. So in other words, like clean wool, meaning white. So it gives us a sense of old, of aged. And meanwhile, kasev kvutzasav ta'atam shecharos. And meanwhile, we have another pasuk in Shir Hashirim that describes him as having black hair, and that's youthful. And so, which one is it? So, I'm sorry, black like a raven. So, lakasha kam yeshiva kam emochama. So, it depends what Akash Baruch Hu is doing at the time. If it's be yeshiva, so then zakein, zakan, old. But if it's mechama, young. Amar mar en lechana b'yeshiva lezakein. So, in terms of the bnei yeshiva, the best is the zakein, right? The been around, right? Wisdom, life, good. Ve'en lechana b'mechama ela b'chor. In terms of mechama, so that you need youth. Kasevecha omer karsesh vivim dinor. Kasevecha omer ad di karsun ramayu ve'atik yomin yasiv. Seems to be a discrepancy in the Pesukim in Daniel regarding the chair, the kiseh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first pasuk that we quoted is karseh. Karseh says Rashi is lashon yachid. It's one chair. And then we have another pasuk, ad de kersun. That's two chairs. So we have either one chair or two chairs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a very basic discrepancy in terms of how many chairs were there. Lokesha echalava echala David. Okay, this answer I didn't see this one coming. So the Gemara says one chair is for Akash Baruch, and the other one's for David HaMelech. Okay, of course. And then the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Tanaim are arguing exactly how to resolve this discrepancy. So Rabbi Kiva's position is exactly what, as we just laid out in the Gemara. One is for Akash Baruch, and the other one's for David HaMelech. So Amala Rabbi Yosef Glili Akiva Ad Masayata Ose Shechina Chol. Rav Yossi just cannot believe what he's hearing. Rav Yossi Glili says to Rabbi Akiva, what are you doing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting side by side with David HaMelech? It can't be. Right? You're making the Shekhinah like chol. It's like you're turning it into a mundane. Like, what is that? No, the two chairs represent the two attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is for din and the other one is for tzedakah. Now, I don't know what I'm saying. I'll say it. It's based on Midrashim. Right, I've heard it numerous times, but I don't know what I'm saying, but I'll say it anyway. Right, when we blow the shofar in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, what does it do? It moves the Kadosh Baruch Hu from the kiseh of din to the kiseh of rachamim. Okay, I said it. Even though I don't fully understand what I'm saying, but okay. Kibli mine olo, kibli mine. In other words, Rabbi Kiva just got reprimanded. And did he accept it? Did he not accept? Tashma echeladim echeladstaka de Rabbi Akiva. Gemara quotes another brisa, and it's clear that he accepted Rabbi Yosef Galili's point. No, right? Not like he said earlier. Once for him and once for David HaMelech, but rather this brisa says once for din and once for tzedaka. Amal Rav Elazar ben Azariah Akiva Malach Eitzal Agada. Rav Elazar ben Azariah also reprimands Rabbi Akiva, and he says, "Look, this is not your forte." Right, I got it. That this is not you. Klachem midabrasecha eitzel negayim va'olos. Go to Tumat Tahara. Right, you know those areas of halacha. Good, but stay away from agadita. Ela echalakisev echalasarf sarafraf. So he's another answer. The Gemara is that one for his chair and the other one is sarafraf. That is the footstool. Kisev leshevelav sarafraf lahadamar glav. He sits on the chair. And the footstool is this world. Shenemar Shemaim Kisiba Arta Damragli. Ki Asaradimi Amar Shmanesre Klaus Kilo Yishayahu Es Yisrael Velonit Karadaito Ashenemar Lam Amikra Hazeh. Yishayahu gave Tochacha rebuke to the Jewish people. And when did they take it? Only when he got to the following point in the third parak of Yishayahu. Yiravu Anar Bezakein Venikla Benichbad. The young is going to take over the old. And those who are light are going to take over those who are distinguished, who are honored. Shmon Esrei Klalos, my nano, 18 klalos that Yeshayahu gave the Jewish people. In the third parak of Yeshayahu, Sefer Yeshayahu, Dichsiv. We'll start this now. We'll start the list of 18.
Our girls will be starting davening in the Beit Midrash today. All girls in the school will be starting davening in the Beit Midrash today as the next 2 weeks.
Okay, Skine Adon Hashem Tzvekos, Meisim Yerushalayim and Yehuda. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to remove from Yerushalayim and Yehuda the following. Now, I'm just going to read it quickly because we're going to explain each one of these in and themselves. Mashena mashena kol mishan lechem v'chol mishan mayim. Gibor v'ish v'chama shofei v'navi v'kosim v'zakein tzor ha-chamishim v'nesopanim v'yawetz v'chacham charashim v'navon lachash v'nasati na'arim sarehem v'ta'alulim yimshlu v'am. Okay. So this is Yeshayahu's klala to the Jewish people. Here's what Yerushalayim's going to lose. And he gave him a long list. And now we're going to go through each one of these individually. So let's start this now, and tomorrow we'll continue. Mashena Bale Mikra, the word Mashena, those people who are fluent in Chumash. Mashena Elo Bale Mishnah. And the Mashena is referring to those people who are fluent with Mishnah. Kigon Rav Yehuda ben Tema, the Chavei Rav. Rav Yehuda ben Tema was an expert on Mishnah. Now here comes an interesting point in the Gemara. Pliga bar Papa Rabbanan Chanamar Sheish Meos Sidrei Mishnah V'Chanamar Shva Meos Sidrei Mishnah. How many Siddharma Mishnahs did Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema have? So let's start off with how many do we have? We have six. Okay, and of which, by the way, we in the Daf Yomi concentrate on four of the six. Okay, so six is our number. And meanwhile, the Gemara describes that Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, who early Tana, so he had already 600, maybe 700. According to another Gersa. And so at one point in time, the number got reduced from 600 to 6. I can recall the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that describes how Avram Avinu had Masechta Avodah Zarah. Again, whatever that means, but you understand, in other words, and we have only 5 Prakim in Avodah Zarah. And Avram Avinu, I forgot the number off the top of my head, but it was a much bigger number, 300, 400. I forgot the number, and it too was reduced. So we talk here about a reduction of the Mishnayos. So here we're going from 600 down to 6. So we only have 1% of Mishnayos that was once upon a time had by Rav Yehuda ben Tema. And obviously it needs like a lot of clarification. What happened? Meaning how do we go from 600 Siddharim to only 6 Siddharim of Mishnayos?
Would take a lifetime.
Yeah. I know. It's right. Let's just do a little bit more. Kol mishan lechem elo bali tamad. The mishan lechem are bali tamad. Right? Rashi says, just like we need bread. Bread is the sustenance. The bali tamad are sustenance. Shenem alechul lechmo balachmo. V'shasu b'yayim asachti. V'chol mashen mayin elo bali agadah. The water is a reference to agadata, to drush. Shemoshkin libo shaladam kem mayim ba'agadah. Right? Draws a heart. Gibor ze bal shemuos. We'll stop over here. So, the Gibor is the Baal Shmos. Rashi describes the Baal Shmos, people who are poskim, right? Who know the halacha, say the halacha, right? That's the Baal Shmos. They have a tradition of what the halacha is, and they say it over. Okay, all these people is what Yerushalayim will end up losing. And the Gemara says, and it was only when Yeshaya got to his punchline that the Jewish people finally did they break a little bit. They got it. They received the tochacha. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow, it was in addition to going on, tomorrow, I know, it's not a good place to stop. You're right. Tomorrow, we're going to obviously continue, hopefully finish Daf Yudali, go to Tezvav. Tomorrow, we start our Benichnasula parties, right? The famous Agadata of the four people going into parties, that's going to be on cue on tap for tomorrow.